Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 15th of March, 2022, just a month away from your income tax due. Just thought I'd remind you of that. We're going to make you happier than that with this show. We've got a nice show with my good friends from the Discovery Education STEM Careers Coalition. Okay, Rachel Scheffler is here, and she's brought with her from Horizon Therapeutics, Holly Copeland. This is an interesting company, by the way. Holly is the Senior Director of Corporate Social Responsibility, and they really believe in corporate social responsibility, as you'll find out. It's a nice company. All right, I'm going to learn more about all the things they're doing in education. That's what we're going to focus on today. So stay tuned. Before we do that, I just want to let you know that we're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. That's ACE-ED.org. All right, that's our website for equity and access. Our journal over there, it's all online, is Equity and Access. You can see the cover over there. Just click on that. You'll read some beautiful stuff. We have great articles on the whole website. All of our podcasts are over there. We have a link to SEL Today, our social emotional learning website, SELtoday.org, but you can link from ACE-ED. And also we have a new thing about teacher retention, professional learning. It's really pretty cool. And if you want to click on that, you'll see it in the menu, okay, over at ACE-ED.org. All right, so please do all that. So let me bring on the one and only Rachel, all right? And let me try to figure out which line Holly is on. I got two lines open and one guess. Holly, is this you? All right, let me try this one. Holly, hold on.
Yes.
Holly,
I'm
where
here.
Are you?
What, can you hear me?
What are the last lines of your, are you at 20250 or 1942? Which is your phone number?
1942.
Okay, I'm going to mute whoever that is at 0250, and she can listen, or he can listen, whoever that is. And hello to that person, but hello, Holly, I'll say that. Welcome to the show. I'm Larry. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Larry. It's so nice to be here.
And are you in Chicago? Is that where you're calling from?
I am. Yeah, I am, actually.
I used to live there. Where are you in Chicago?
So I've been about 15 years in Oak Park, and actually just within the last year bought a 100-year-old farmhouse that I'm renovating. It's about 3 hours south, so it's been quite an adventure leaving the city.
Good for you. And by the way, I'll be talking to my good friends from Oak Park this afternoon around 5 o'clock like we do every Tuesday. The
oh,
whole
really?
Yes, there you go.
Oh,
see
kidding.
That? See the? No, I'm not kidding you. All right, it's for real. And I used to live in the city and also in Deerfield. Okay, so I lived in the city at Rogers Park, and then Deerfield. We also lived in McHenry. Then we moved out east here. Okay, so it's nice to have you here, Holly.
Fascinating overlap. Our headquarters is in Deerfield. So I'm like technically in Deerfield at the moment.
There you go. How about that? All right. That's so amazing. Hello, Rachel.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to see you. Hi,
thank
Rachel.
Thank you.
Like... Good morning, Holly.
Holly?
Good morning.
Oh,
yes.
There you go.
Yes, good morning.
Holly of Deerfield, okay? This is great. We'll start two ways. First of all, I'm going to start. Rachel, you're the senior director of the STEM, note the sound effects, of the STEM Careers Coalition, my good friends. We do a lot of shows together because it's really important for industry to step up. That's what we're talking about here. Tell us about the STEM Careers Coalition. Rachel Scheffler.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, we are very proud to talk about the STEM Careers Coalition. We are now about a little over 2 years into the initiative that we launched in November of 2019 with some really terrific partners. And really, you know, to try to dumb it down into a small nutshell, the whole idea behind it was to really bring together some outstanding companies and nonprofit organizations to think about a way to invest in a national STEM and careers-focused initiative that really, at the end of the day, is looking to provide real-world experiences for students about the future of work. And at the same time, the significant driver behind it that I think makes this so unique is that our partners are also working real hard to create equitable accesses to STEM courses for girls and students of color.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. All right. And I got to say, if schools are always hurting for dollars, and if industry, good old Horizon is popping through on this, and other companies as well, if industry doesn't step up and help school districts create the workforce of the future, okay, they're going to be in big trouble. And that's why it's so important for industry to step up, not just for the goodness of it, a quote, corporate social responsibility, but for their own sake. Okay, we need a workforce in the future, okay? And schools, it's hard to do that. So thank you all the industries to do that, especially Horizon. Holly, what do you guys do for a living over there? Talk to me.
Well, I'd like to say I actually couldn't agree with the point that you just made even more. It's so imperative that we as an industry prioritize investing in our future diverse STEAM leaders. So we've got a supporter of that statement over here. Horizon is a global biotechnology company focused on treating rare and autoimmune diseases. And basically what that means is we really kind of focus on the smaller patient populations, the hard to treat. Oftentimes these patient populations do not have an existing treatment to address debilitating conditions that they have, and it affects their quality of life in significant ways along the spectrum, which, you know, can potentially include, you know, premature death. And so our founding CEO, Tim Walbert, is a patient himself.
Yeah.
He has a couple of these diseases, as does his son. And so it's really become a personal mission for all of us here at Horizon to really focus on those who have great needs and to try to help them through the work that we do here every day.
How old is the company? How old is the company?
So I'm going to have to fact check myself on this. I think technically 2016, we went public in 2011 and have just experienced meteoric growth since then. So when I started about 7 years ago, I was in a shared office space in a shared office building. And, you know, now we've got a couple of locations throughout the world and are doing some good work to help patients.
Yeah. And by the way, you do great work. Again, everybody, it's Horizon Therapeutics. And I just want to say this, okay? They have an award-winning, by the way, we're talking to the Senior Director of Corporate Social Responsibility. That's Holly. Okay, they have award-winning, she was very shy here and modest, she has award-winning global corporate social responsibility portfolio. They were inducted, you can explain this to me, they were inducted into the CSR, corporate social responsibility, I assume, CSR World Leaders at Parliament in England, right, in 2019, am I correct? Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Are you guys originally British, or is it a British company?
No, we're based in Ireland, in Dublin.
I've heard of Ireland. Yes, that's good. Let me make the point. St. Paddy's Day is this Thursday. Let me make that point, okay? 2 days from St. Paddy's Day. You may continue, yes.
Yeah, some of our colleagues are actually in town from Ireland, and they're excited to sort of see the juxtaposition on how we celebrate that day here. So I'll let you know.
They're going to turn the Chicago River green, everybody. The river goes green on St. Paddy's Day. Okay, in Chicago, always a treat. All right, so Parliament recognized you, okay, British Parliament. And then also, another P, People Magazine. This is a big one. I don't know which P is more powerful there. Parliament or People Magazine, okay? They recognize you. They recognize you guys as a top 50 company that cares, okay? And
that's
that's really a nice thing, okay? That's just great. Wait, I have to ask, Holly, what's your background? What brought you into this? This is
cool. My personal background actually started in the nonprofit sector doing social impact development, so affordable housing and affordable energy and such. And then spent some time working for Governor Quinn, who's a couple governors back, working on social economic policy. And then, you know, the transition over here to Horizon has actually been lovely because I could bring that perspective from the nonprofit world and the government world and understand how we can pull those levers to create really innovative programs, which is why we got those international awards that we're so proud of that you mentioned, right? It's applying this lens of innovation and creativity to how we show up with our partners and trying to sort of meet them where they are versus talking at them and telling them what we think the solutions need to be.
Good for you. Boy, you're going to heaven, Holly. You're a nice person. Rachel, are you as nice as Holly is? Rachel.
She is. I guarantee you.
Rachel?
Yes. Holly and I became fast friends.
I mean, it's amazing. She creates this incredible standard. I'm not this good. I inadvertently admit I am not this good. Are you this good, Rachel? My friend, Rachel.
Aww,
what's going on?
Hi to be.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Larry, can I build on something that Holly just said there, which
of
I think
course.
Is a good, relevant transition? You know, she was
of
talking
course.
About, you know, the good that they're trying to do in the community with all of their various programs. And I think one of the things that I'd love Holly to share with you is when, you know, Horizon and Discovery became partners in early calendar year 20, we asked Holly to think about what could we do to put in front of students some employees at Horizon that were really working to solve some of the challenges that we were experiencing in the middle of the pandemic. And so Holly was able to pull a few employees from Horizon's, wonderful employee base. And we highlighted some people that were doing really terrific things that were solving problems. And so I'd love for Holly to talk just a little bit about the COVID solution seekers and, you know, just how helpful that they've been to students, you know, inspiring them to really kind of tackle the things that we were all tackling in the moment and knowing that there's going to be things in the future, you know?
Rachel, thank you. That's great. Good segue. Holly?
Very good. Yeah, so as Rachel mentioned, we were able to identify two employees who had very interesting roles that required pretty significant pivots due to COVID. So one was a woman who heads up our commercial team here stateside, and she was preparing to launch a new product that, as I had mentioned earlier, addressed a patient population that did not currently have a treatment, and this medicine could dramatically improve these patients' lives. And so kind of high stakes, right? Like, we want to make sure people understand that this is now available and they know how to access it, and that requires a lot of coordination and activity and planning. Which, you know, was all kind of put in place over a period of months prior to, and overnight, the entire plan had to change. And so she talks in her video about how she really organized her team to think creatively on how they could adapt and in the face of this, like, unprecedented challenge of COVID and still get the word out and connect with patients and doctors about the access to this new medicine. So it was a really fascinating story, honestly, I'm sure, for the children to learn about that real life example of needing to pivot in a job, but then also exciting for all of us to kind of hear what happened behind the scenes because it was happening so fast in real time.
And what about
the other?
We have a second person. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we do. So the other employee is a gentleman who works on our patient services team. So he actually helps families, primarily with children that need to access medicine, to connect with their care provider, make sure they have the ability to travel to treatment, and just kind of support them, generally speaking. And so his role obviously was also dramatically impacted because a lot of patients with compromised immune systems initially were, you know, basically instructed by the CDC, like, you need to stay safe as the rest of us, but there's this heightened risk with immunocompromised individuals. So he talks about how he kind of helped those families navigate that very turbulent and, time in general where there just weren't a lot of answers and people were afraid. And so also really great insights on how he was able to support those families.
Mm-hmm.
That is so – I'm telling you, everybody, horizontherapeutics.com. I do want you to go over there because you get a sense of how nice this company is, okay, and how responsible this company is, okay, from the website. Okay, and I mean that sincerely, and it literally is a company that cares about people, and you guys do great work. And I want to ask you this, Rachel. I'm going to swing over to you. Okay,
yep.
You're the education side; they're the industrial side, if I may. All right, and Rach, when you bring in a new partner into the STEM Careers Coalition, I have a feeling that Horizon, although very interested in everything in terms of equity, tends to also really put an emphasis on gender equity. And do you lead them into that, or do you follow up where they started? Or am I right? Are your programs in education lending themselves to gender equity, which I think is incredibly important in biotech? Okay, we need more females in there, all right, of all races, et cetera. But just talk about how that happens, and then we can get back to Holly and how they actually acted out. Rach.
Yeah, I think the way Holly and Horizon approach gender equity is a really great complement to how we approach, gender and access in the same way. So, when we look at the efforts of the STEM Careers Coalition, we know that, historically girls and students of color are underrepresented in all STEM careers. So I think that the ability for us to, keep our partners in the know about what we're hearing in education and helping them understand where our spaces are, the gaps in the content that we can deliver for students. Holly has always been really responsive to, what we're sharing with her in terms of what we need for the site for teachers to be able to access and share with students. And we could say like, hey, Holly, we're really looking for, a diverse individual to represent, something in biotechnology, what they do at Horizon. And she's very responsive to like, okay, we'll see who we can look for to represent this new piece of content or, that perspective, because we really need to be able to show students people that look like them in order for students to stay. And we know that if they stay interested, they're going to explore.
Yeah, they have to see examples. Because if you don't, you just don't know. Yeah, you're just out of context.
Yep.
Okay, you have
that's
to
correct.
Provide a context. All right, that's something we've been missing for, I'd say, the last 250 years. Okay, so I'm glad we're doing this now. Holly, when you hear something like that, and I know you believe in equity for everyone, African-American kids, Latino kids, go right down the list, okay? Mm-hmm. But is gender a big thing? Is that what you see as the, if I may, the number one priority of the equity question in terms of biotech? I don't know if you see it that way, but I'm just curious, okay, how you're doing this and how you think it through.
That's like asking me which child I love more. Like, I feel like all of the issues are important.
I recognize it was a dumb question, but I know you guys are very concerned, okay, about getting more females into biotech.
Yes.
Okay, and that's females,
that's exactly
again, of every race and whatever. Okay, but I'm just curious how it sets up at the company. Okay, just go ahead.
That's,
talk.
That's please. Right. So,
by the way, do you have kids? Do you have kids, Holly?
I do.
Which one do you like best?
I have two girls.
Which one do you like best? Really?
I'm going to withhold my answer.
Good girl. That's good. Okay.
Yes. So, as Rachel mentioned, yes, making sure that when we communicate the value of a STEM career to youth, it's really important to emphasize how diversity of thought impacts the development of better outcomes, both from a business perspective and also from like a product perspective, right? You want your medicines, in our case, or whatever product a particular company is creating, to reflect the needs and desires of the community at large. And the community at large is not homogenous, right? There's a lot of variation. And so that has to be reflected in your teams. And so when we connect with youth, in addition to talking about the diverse occupations and career paths that exist, in addition to making sure that we're putting in front of them people that look like them in these roles so they can see themselves in a particular role or career path, we also find it to be very important to emphasize other elements of what brings equity into a workplace, including, for example, having pay equity. So a lot of companies talk about their commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and yet most of them do not conduct pay equity studies to guarantee that they're paying their employees equally for equal work. That's not the case at Horizon, and we've actually been very vocal from a thought leadership perspective of trying to influence other companies and employees and children to think about this topic and ask questions to make sure that there is equity in workplaces. Another example of that is making sure that we're creating space and pathways for diverse STEM leaders to serve in leadership roles. So at Horizon, in our R&D team, we actually have a super majority of our leadership roles filled by women, which is well above industry standards, and as Rachel mentioned earlier, not the case across industries. So it's important for us at Horizon to really reflect our values across the business and not just, you know, say words that don't really get reflected in how we conduct our day-to-day operations. So we try to kind of package that up and bring it all to the children when we're connecting with them about their future hopeful STEM career.
Mm-hmm.
And are you when you connect with the kids through the STEM Career Coalition, okay, how are you doing that? Are you simply, which is not simple, providing them with examples of folks, or are you providing them with a game plan, or how's that working out as you develop this partnership with Discovery and the STEM Careers Coalition? Okay, what are you presenting to them?
For sure. So one of the exciting elements of the partnership for me, and hopefully Rachel agrees with this, is you know, we really love to play in the entrepreneurial space. So it's so exciting for us as a relatively younger company to partner up with organizations that have big ideas and want to create and build models for the future. And so this STEM Careers Coalition is a perfect example of that. It's recognizing that the current systems that we have in place to teach our children about our future STEM careers may not be the most effective. And so how can we come up with new ideas, new partnerships to try to make some adjustments that increase the success of how we're teaching our kids? And so for us to be able to take the lead of Discovery Education, again, taking that approach of we don't want to come in acting as if we know all the answers, and listening to Discovery, listening to the teachers, listening to the students, and making sure that we're all collaboratively working together to try different things and not be afraid to pivot. So in the first year we worked with Rachel, our partnership really focused on these videos. This year with Discovery, we've pivoted, and now we're helping provide access to the education platform for schools that might not have the resources to be able to access that platform otherwise. And I think next year we'll probably pivot again. It's really kind of being flexible to adapt to the needs that exist to try to push this new initiative, these new ideas forward.
Yeah.
And this is an awesome.
Go ahead, Rach. Yeah.
Which is an awesome segue, because one of the things I was going to talk about a little bit today is, like, when we talk about pivoting and growing and being responsive to what we're hearing from our teachers in classrooms on what they need, one of the things that we've heard is that the career content looks very much like high school oriented, okay, in the videos, because it's talking about, hey, you know, if you're interested in being a pharmacist, this is what you do. But we also understand that we need to be talking to students at a much younger age about career exploration, but we know that that's probably a different approach. So one of the things that we have on the docket for this calendar year is to start thinking about ways that we can create content that's more of an early career exploration series, if you will, okay? So we want to be able to start to reach back into that 5 to 8 middle school age and then think about ways that we can communicate with them appropriately just to get their creative minds thinking and, you know, the curiosity avenues flowing.
Yeah, it's really difficult. I remember my mother kept asking me, from when I was 8 years old and what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Yep.
Okay? And she would ask me when I was 8, and I would answer, I want to be 9. I had no idea, of course. But it's important, and I have to go back to when I was a kid, which is, I'm way older than you guys, and I got to tell you, there was no context put into it. I just want to say it that way. There was nothing done about what the jobs were really like out there. It was just assumed you would get one, all right? Mm-hmm. But we have to let kids know, okay, all kids, all right, that there's great futures them. And I'll tell you, one of the things which Horizon has picked up, and so has the STEM Careers Coalition, you know, we've missed about half the kids because of race, because of gender, mm-hmm. over the course of the last 100 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's been a terrible mistake. God knows where we would be right now, all right, mm-hmm. if we had taken that into consideration. We did not. All right, it's about time we did, and we are doing it. I always say this, you know, I'm going to say what I said at the beginning of the show. Industry has to step up to make this happen. That's what I love what Discovery is doing with the STEM Careers Coalition. You're actively recruiting industry into education because, frankly, mm-hmm. most industry does want to be involved. They do recognize the situation coming down the pike, but they don't know how to do it. Okay, and they don't have to do it by themselves. All right, it's that simple. Yep. And in biotech, it's just key. You know, one of the things, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Holly, or you've asked about it, but a lot of women, I've noticed this just among friends, daughters, etc. Except for healthcare, they tend to lose interest in science when they get into college. Okay, in high school, there's plenty of female physicians, okay, and there is obviously plenty of female nurses, but we need more on the pure science side. And is there any thought, I don't know, in high school work about doing something with that? I don't know. Just think, because that's really your sweet spot, you guys. Holly.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, to Rachel's point earlier, it's actually the intervention is needed prior to high school. The data really shows that the drop-off happens in junior high. So you've got girls who are actively engaged in STEM subjects, and then, around puberty, which, you know, that's a whole different conversation, there are a variety of drivers that influence girls to kind of drop out of those STEM subjects or to pivot. Yeah, so, you know, what we've tried to do, I mean, absolutely. And to your point, like what we've tried to do is not just acknowledge that that's the case, but really build a full pipeline of support through our program. So the way that we support, we have four pillars of giving at Horizon. One of them is STEAM, where we support historically marginalized communities, girls, students of color. And we start at the elementary school age. So we actually support programs that help student inventors. And then when they get to high school, we have STEM projects, so we provide mentors.
Nice.
College, we do scholarships and mentors. And then post-graduate school, we've got programs for female and people of color entrepreneurs, right? So it's it's understanding that it's a full spectrum of support that's needed.
It really is. And just out of curiosity, your company has a bigger footprint than the size of the company in all this. I really appreciate that. Okay, just as you look at it and you talk to HR, certainly, how's it looking right now? Are we moving forward with all this? Can they find the right people?
Is that question posed to me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Holly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak to the HR team because that's their world.
Anecdotally,
I mean, it's a challenge to source the diverse talent that I think collectively we all know is necessary for the future. I think the paradigm of how we operated as a society in the past is really no longer relevant. And so it's required making adjustments. One example that I'll actually share that, you know, I don't know if we've actually pursued this yet, but there have been conversations to explore it is even the understanding of, like, historically employers are very fixated on degrees and have, you know, a variety of degrees that are required for certain positions. And it's sort of rethinking the actual skills that are necessary for
exactly.
a particular role. Right? Like,
exactly.
you need critical thinking. Well, critical thinking can be developed outside of, you know, a college classroom. And so how do
that's,
you reflect that in the job
that's
description?
Right. That's mm-hmm. right. That's a great point. That is a great point. A lot of people who are bright enough to do this, okay, don't have
mm-hmm.
the can't access college because of financial reasons or whatever.
That's
right.
right.
And, but these people will still be great in the field. All right,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you can always pick up the knowledge. Okay, it's the other things that matter. I really appreciate your company, Holly. It's a nice company, Horizon Therapeutics. I mean it.
Thank you. You do a great job of reflecting that.
Well, you should be. You should be. It's really nice. And Rachel, another winner. This is terrific. Okay, you guys
Thank you.
Keep finding these great companies. All right, I love it when industry steps up. They are. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Rachel. You guys have a good, safe day, okay?
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure, believe me, ladies, was mine. Thank you both. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
By the way, I accidentally cut somebody off there. Okay. Discovery Education's STEMCareersCoalition.org. STEMCareersCoalition.org. And tap into them. They have great stuff for schools. Okay, a lot of companies besides Horizon tap in there. Okay, so please do that. And, of course, Horizon Therapeutics. Learn more. It's a nice company at horizontherapeutics.com. All right, we'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Be safe.